Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for every person here. Thank you for everyone that's joining us online on our live stream. And Father, we just thank you for speaking to every heart today. I thank you for this message that you put in my heart. And I pray, Father, that you would help me by your Holy Spirit, and I trust that you will, to communicate it the way that you've put it in my heart. Lord, I pray that it would be light, it would be revelation, and it would bring understanding to every person here. And Father, I thank you that we all commit to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. And also, I mentioned the kids being out with us today. And I have a message today that is for everybody. But kids, I really want you to pay attention and hear this, because I think this is one of the greatest things that you can learn. All of us of all ages, what I'm going to talk to you about today. And so school is starting back this week for most of the schools in the area. So we want to pray. Are you glad to send those kids back to school? We're excited about the kids going back. Amen. That's right. So we're going to pray at the end of the service. We're going to pray over all the students that will be starting back to school. Praise God. So Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21 is where we'll start this morning. It says, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I want to talk about this concept this morning of walking with God. It says here that Enoch walked with God, and he walked with God for 300 years. He began walking with God apparently at age 65 when he had his first child. You know, there's something about becoming a parent that kind of wakes you up to the responsibilities of life and the important things of life. Amen. And so Enoch began walking with God at that point. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to walk with God? How did he do that? How did Enoch walk with God? How did that happen? And then we get a little more insight looking at it in the New Living Translation. In the New Living in verse 22, it says, after the birth of Methuselah, Enoch, notice how it's worded here, Enoch lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Enoch lived 365 years walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. So it says here that he lived in close fellowship with God. That's what it means. That's another way to understand. And I appreciate, that's why I like to reference other translations, because it helps me to get light and understanding on what's being said. Enoch walked with God. What does that mean? Well, another translation here says he lived in close fellowship with God. That's what it means. One thing that it means to walk with God. He lived in close fellowship with him. It says he was walking in close fellowship with God, and he did that for 300 years. And one day he disappeared because God took him. I got news for you, folks. One day we're going to disappear. Amen. One day we're going to disappear because God's going to take us. Amen. It's called the rapture, the catching away of the church. Don't listen to these folks that tell you, oh, well, the rapture's not in the Bible. It's right here. Amen. It's right here in the very first book of the Bible. Amen. Well, the word rapture is not in the Bible. Well, you know, that's like people saying, I don't believe in God because I've never seen him. Well, have you ever, you know, you've never seen your brain either, I don't think, right? Yeah. So, but just because the word rapture is not in the Bible, the Greek language, it's harpazo. It means catching away. And it was translated into Latin, rapturo. And that's where we get our word rapture from. So, yes, it's in the Bible. And Enoch was the first one that happened to. He was caught away. Praise God. He was not. He walked with God. And one day he disappeared because God took him. Praise God. And so it says here, though, that he lived in close fellowship with God. So I don't know about you, but it's my desire to walk with God. I want to walk with God all the time. I'm 62 years old, and I want it said that he walked with God all the days of his life. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. I want it said about me that he walked with God all of his days. Amen? Praise God. And it can be said about us that we walked with God. Amen. Whether it's said about us or not, the important thing is that we endeavor to do it. Amen. That we endeavor to walk with God. This is the greatest prayer that I have for my children and for my grandchildren, that they'll walk with God. Because I know if they walk with God, everything else will turn out right and good in their life. If I can instill in them the importance of walking with God. And that's what I want to, why I want to instill it in your hearts, children and young people today, and all of us. It's not too late to start walking with God. Enoch was 65 when he started. Amen. Now, he had another 300 years ahead of him after that. You know, it's not too late to start walking with God. And there's nothing more important that we can do than to learn to walk with God. Amen. It's my prayer for you. As I pray for you, I pray that you would walk with God, that you'd learn to walk with Him, and that you would walk with Him. Praise God. Let's read this same passage out of the Message Bible. In verse 22 in the Message, it said, Enoch walked, look at this, walked steadily. I like that. Enoch walked steadily with God. After he had Methuselah, he lived another 300 years, having more sons and daughters. Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Verse 24, Enoch walked steadily with God. And then one day he was simply gone. God took him. Praise God. I like that. He walked steadily with God. There's much to be said about steadiness, about being steady, and about being consistent, especially in our relationship with the Lord. Amen? God wants to, you know, it's one thing that, you know, you see folks that are up and down, on fire and then cold. But God wants us to live steady lives, to walk with God steadily. Amen? To be steady in our relationship with Him. And there's an interesting side note here, too. You know, sometimes when someone dies, people will sometimes say, well, yeah, the Lord took him or the Lord took her. But, you know, in the scripture, when you read the scripture, the only people where it says the Lord took them, they didn't die. Amen. They got caught away. Amen. They got caught up. Enoch didn't die. God took him. Elijah, the Bible says God came and took him. He didn't die. He was caught up to heaven. Amen. Praise God. So no, God's not taking folks. Amen. Hallelujah. People that die don't say, well, God, it was just their time. God took them. That's not scriptural. Amen. Well, no, wait a minute, Pastor. The Bible says we've got a time to die. No, it doesn't say you have an appointed time. Well, it does. That's right there in Hebrews. No, it's not. In the book of Hebrews, it says it is appointed unto man to die once. Doesn't say anything about the time. Everybody's going to have an appointment with death, but you get to schedule the appointment.
Amen.
You get to schedule the appointment. It's not up to God, it's up to you. Amen. With long life, he said in Psalm 91, with long life I'll satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Amen.
Live till you get satisfied. I remember Brother Hagin saying, if you hear one day, if you read one day that I'm gone, you know I got satisfied. Amen. I like that. Praise God. So it's up to you. Amen. God's not taking folks. Amen. If he takes you, then that means you got raptured. Amen. All right. Back to our subject here. So we talked about Enoch. Let's talk about another person just a few generations removed from Enoch, and that's Noah. We know that Noah walked with God as well. Genesis 6:9 in God's Word says this. This is the account of Noah and his descendants. Noah had God's approval and was a man of integrity among the people of his time. He did what? He walked with God. He walked with God. Now, I love this passage, and I wanted to. I thought it read really well in God's Word, so I wanted to give it to you in God's Word translation. It says, Noah had God's approval. Well, how did he have God's approval? Hebrews 11 tells us how he had God's approval. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So Noah was walking in faith, and it's through faith that he had God's approval, and it's through faith that we have God's approval. Amen. It says he was a man of integrity among the people of his time. Now, that's real interesting if you think about the generation in which Noah lived. If you think about the culture in which Noah lived. Now, the Bible tells us about that in the previous verses of Genesis chapter 6 there. And the culture that he lived in and the time that he lived in, it was not a time where everybody was walking with God. No. Look at what the Bible says about that in verse 5 of Genesis 6. Then the Lord saw the wickedness, that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The next verse says, in fact, which we don't have on the screen, but it says that the Lord was sorry that he made man. The Lord was sorry that he made man. It got so bad. Everybody's thoughts was only evil continually. But then there was one man that stood out. One man that was walking in integrity among the people of his time. One man that was walking with God in all of that period, and that was Noah. Amen. You know, it's easy to walk with God when everybody else is walking with him, right? It's easy to walk with God when you got a bunch of people encouraging you. And that's why we need church. I mean, we need that, you know. We need inspiration from one another. We need to be able to look at people and say, hey, you know, they're walking with God. I'm going to walk with God. I needed that, you know. I think about it as a young person when I really first started getting serious about my relationship with God and got filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful that I had other people around me that were walking with God and challenging me and telling me, hey, you know, let's follow God. Let's serve him. Without that, I don't know if I would have continued on that path. I needed that. And we need that. Amen. We need each other. But Noah walked with God all alone. There was nobody else walking with him. It's a lot harder to stand alone. Noah stood alone in his generation. He walked with God when no one else was. And you know, that should be our determination. We should decide and we should determine, you know, no matter if anybody else does it or not, I'm going to walk with God. Amen. Praise God. And young people, you probably already know this because you've already been in school, and you know that there. If you're going to walk with God, then you're going to have to say no to some of what your friends are doing and saying and the direction they're going. And it might not be easy all the time, but to walk with God, sometimes you have to stand alone. But is it worth it? Well, was it worth it for Noah? I think so. I think so. Hallelujah. And so we have to determine, you know, if nobody else does, I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to walk with God. Amen. Let's read this out of the Message Bible, Genesis 6, 9, out of the Message. Go back to verse 9. And I think, did we get that one in there? Maybe we didn't. There we go. Yeah. Genesis 6, 9, out of the Message. This is the story of Noah. Noah was what kind of man? A good man. Noah was a good man. A man of integrity in his community. Noah walked with God. See, when we walk with God, that will make us good men, good women. Why? Because those that you walk with influence you. Those that you run with, sometimes we use that phrase, well, who do you run with? What, you know, a popular term now is tribe. Who's your tribe? You know, you hear people say, who's your tribe? Okay, that's the end one right now. That's the popular one. Who do you walk with? What kind of people are you walking with? Because who you walk with will influence you. Well, guess what? If we walk with God, that's going to influence us. Amen. Yeah. Why was Noah a good man? He was a good man because he walked with God. Amen. That made him a good man because God, walking with God, influenced him. God's nature, God's character rubbed off on Noah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, again, we still we still need to figure this out. How do we do it, though? How do we walk with God today? If you think about these two guys that we've just looked at, Enoch and Noah, it's really amazing to me to consider that they walked with God in their time. See, they were living in the Old Testament, Old Covenant. They were not born again like we are today. They didn't have the Holy Spirit living in them like we do today. They didn't have the Holy Spirit to lead them, to guide them, to empower them. And yet they walked with God. They lived in close fellowship with Him. So how much more should we, that we've been born again, we've got the Holy Spirit living in us to guide us, to empower us, how much more should we walk with God? Amen? But again, how do we do it? All right, I'm glad you asked. We're going to get there. Amos 3, verse 3. Amos 3, 3. In the New Living Translation, it says, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? So if you're going to walk with somebody, then you got to be going the same way. Robert, come up here and walk with me. Now, you go that way and I'll go this way. So, are we walking together? No, no. Robert, we're going to walk this way. All right. Okay, so Robert's walking with me now. All right, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Woo-hoo. See, so we had to agree on the direction. Now, how many of you know if we're going to walk with God, who needs to make the decision on which way we're going to go? Yeah. Yeah, God does. We shouldn't say, okay, Lord, I'm walking this way. Come on and join me. You know, it's interesting. I'm sure that Adam walked with God because after they sinned, remember what happened? After they sinned, it says they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. God came down to walk with Adam just like before, except something's happened now and Adam's hiding in the bushes. He's not out there walking with God anymore. So if we're going to walk with God, then we need to know what direction He's going. We don't need to talk Him into trying to go our direction. That's the whole concept behind or the whole meaning behind the concept of repentance. You know what repentance means? Repent means to turn and go the other direction. We were all walking our way. Paul says in Ephesians that we were walking according to the course of this world, of the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who works in the sons of disobedience. It says we were all going that direction. We were all walking in darkness. We were all walking, following the devil, following our flesh, doing all that. And then we heard the gospel. And what did we do? We repented. We turned from our sin. And we begin walking with God. That's what repent means. It means to turn and go in the other direction. The word confess. There's two types of confession, we know. There's the confession of our sin, right? We confess our sin. And then there's the positive confession of God's word. But in both cases, the word confess means to say the same thing as. So when we confess our sin, we are calling that instead of justifying it anymore, we are saying the same thing that God says about it. That's sin. That's wrong. And I turn from that. I don't want to go that way anymore. That's going to lead me to death. God says the wages of sin is death. I don't want to die. I'm going to turn from that. I'm going to go in another direction. I'm calling that the same thing God calls it. I'm saying the same thing that God says about it. And then when we get over in the kingdom of God, we begin to call ourselves what God calls us. We begin to call ourselves righteous. We begin to call ourselves blessed. We begin to call ourselves healed. We're saying the same thing that God says about us. Amen. Hallelujah. So to walk with someone, how can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction. Praise God. So if we're going to walk with God, we've got to agree with Him on the direction. We've got to say the same thing He's saying. We've got to do the same thing He's doing. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So let's get into this then. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God. The King James, I believe, says be followers of God. Be followers of God. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and do what? What's the next word? And walk. Walk. Walk how? In love. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us. The Message Bible says it this way. Watch what God does and then you do it. Well, that's a way to walk with someone, isn't it? Watch what God does and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with Him and learn a life of love. Hallelujah. So, to walk with God, number one, means to walk in love. To walk with God means to walk in love. And we can do that because He's put His love on the inside of us. The Bible says in Romans 5:5 that the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That love is in you. That love is in me. That love's in us. So, what do? We yield to the love of God that is in us. We don't yield to our flesh. Our flesh wants us to get even, to take revenge, to hold grudges, to treat people wrong, to take advantage of people. That's your flesh. That's not the way God's walking, though. He's not walking that way. He's walking this way. God's walking in love. Hallelujah. God is putting the other person first. God's putting our best interest first. When God sent Jesus, He had our best interest first, didn't He? Amen? He absolutely did. God is forgiving. God is not holding grudges. God is not taking revenge. God is showing mercy. So if we're going to walk with God, we're going to walk with love. I walk in love. Amen? We're going to walk in love. Praise God. Now, that's the way He's walking. God's walking in the way of love. So that's the way we need to walk if we're going to walk with Him. Amen? Praise God. Here in the New Testament, this word walk that appears so many times in the New Testament, it's the Greek word peripateo. I got all this from Rick Renner, who is a noted and highly respected Greek scholar and Bible teacher. But the Greek word here for walk is peripateo. It's a combination of two words, para, which where we get the word periscope, which means around, okay, and pateo, which means to walk, and it literally means to walk around. To walk around. It really means to habitually walk around in one general vicinity or on one path. To walk over, to habitually walk in one general vicinity. It suggests a person who's walked in one region for so long that it's now become his environment and his place of daily activity. Walk in love. Walk in that region for so long that it becomes your environment. It becomes your place of daily activity. One expositor said it can best be explained this way by thinking of a person who has walked one path so habitually that he would be able to walk that path blindfolded because it's his path, it's his sphere, it's the place where he has habitually lived and functioned. When he says walk in love, that means what he's saying is habitually live and function in love, get so accustomed, get so familiar with, get so used to walking in love that it just becomes a habit. Yes. Hallelujah. And it actually, the word walk also actually denotes to stroll, not to trudge or to strain or to strive, but to stroll, to take a stroll. You know what it means to take a stroll. When you take a stroll, you're relaxed, aren't you? You're relaxed. You're not in a hurry. You're not trying to make anything happen. That's the way God wants us to live out this Christian life. Walk in love. Take a stroll in the love of God. You're not trying to, I'm trying to love people. No, you're letting the love of God that's on the inside of you just flow out. Hallelujah. You're strolling. Amen. I love that. Praise God. Let's move on. So to walk with God is number one to what? Walk in love. Everybody say walk in love. Walk in love. Amen. All right. Then number two, another aspect of walking with God, we find this also in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, it says this, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. God, if we're going to walk with God, we're going to walk in faith because God is a faith God. God operates by faith. We see that in the very beginning, in the book of Genesis. We see God creating the world and everything in it. How did He do it? By speaking words. By speaking, and do you think that God was speaking of this idea of strolling? Do you think that God was really nervous about, I really hope this works? let there be light. Yeah, but He didn't say it like that, did He? He said, let there be light. He knew it would happen. Amen. When He said it. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, well, He's God. Yeah, and we're supposed to walk with Him and be like Him. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So He created the worlds by speaking, by believing. Amen. Well, the Bible says that we have that same spirit of faith in 2 Corinthians 4:13. Look at what it says here. And since we have the same spirit of faith, we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written. I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. That's the spirit of faith. That's what it means to walk in faith. It means to believe and to speak. And again, it doesn't mean we're trying to make something happen. It means we're taking a stroll. We are confident that what we say will come to pass. Jesus said it. You know, Jesus talked about that in Mark chapter 4, we'll get to that in a minute, but let's look at Romans 4. So to walk with God, to go the same direction that God's going, it's a walk of faith. That's point number two. To walk with God means to walk in faith. Look at Romans 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. What is that? That's what God said. I believe Robert used this scripture in his message on the Wednesday that Roy was talking about. But this is God speaking to Abraham, and God coming up to Abraham and saying to him, when Abraham was childless, God says, I have made you. In fact, He said, we're going to change your name right now. His name was Abram. And He says, that doesn't fit anymore. That name doesn't fit anymore because I have made you a father of many nations. I have made you. In other words, it's done already. It's already done. In the presence of Him whom He believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Abraham, in the natural, was not the father of many nations at the time. He wasn't the father of one, of not anybody, of no one. And yet God said, I have made you. And it says that God calls those things that do not exist as though they did. And guess what? Abraham began to do the same thing that God did. Why? Because Abraham was walking with God. So whatever God was doing, Abraham was going to do. Whatever God was saying, Abraham was going to say. Amen? Hallelujah. God calls those things which do not exist as though they did, as though they were finished, as though it was done. Amen? And Abraham began doing the same thing. So if we're going to walk with God, we have to learn to do this too. Amen? To walk with God means to walk in faith. And this is a huge part of walking in faith. Jesus spoke to the fig tree, and it withered, right? And the disciples commented about that. He spoke to the fig tree, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." The Bible says his disciples heard it. They went on into the city. They came back outside the city of Jerusalem. This was during the few days before what we call Passion Week, before his crucifixion. They come back out, and the next morning they see that the fig tree has been withered away from the roots. And Peter says, "Shazam, Lord. The fig tree that you spoke to, the tree you spoke to, has withered away." And Jesus said, "Yes, boys, don't try this at home. I can only do this because I'm the Son of God. But you can never do this." Is that what he said? No, when they said, "Whoa, look," Jesus said, "Have faith in God." And the understood subject there is you. You. You have faith in God. "For whoever shall say to the mountain, 'Be removed and be cast in the sea,' and not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Hallelujah. So Jesus gave them an example. He said, "Boys, if you want to walk with faith, walk in faith, if you want to walk with me, this is how you do it. We're walking in faith." One time Jesus sent the disciples away to go across the lake, the Sea of Galilee. And what happened? A storm came up, and the Bible says that Jesus came to them doing what? Walking on the sea, walking on the water. And Peter said, "Cool, Lord, I'd like to do that." And Jesus didn't say, "Sorry, you know, don't try that." He said, "Yeah, come and walk with me. Come and walk with..." See, Jesus is calling all of us to come and walk with him in this walk of faith. In this walk of faith. He's not trying to say, no, don't do that. He's saying, "Come on, walk with me. Walk with me. Walk with me." Amen? To walk with God, to walk with the Lord, it means to walk in faith. Praise God. God operates in faith. So let's do that too. Let's walk by faith, not by sight. Scripture we read there in 2 Corinthians, we walk by faith, not by sight. What happened when Peter was walking by faith on the water until what happened? He began walking by sight. "Oh, wind, waves, storm, I can't do this." And he went down, right? All right. Galatians 5, we find another aspect of what it means to walk with God here in the New Testament. Galatians 5, 16. "I say then, walk in the Spirit." Everybody say, "In the Spirit." So to walk with God means to walk in love. It means to walk in faith. And now we're building on it. To walk with God means to walk in the Spirit. "I say then, walk in the Spirit." Get so comfortable. This is your path that you habitually walk on. Get so comfortable doing this. Get so comfortable walking in faith. Get so used to walking in faith. Get so used to walking in love. Get so used to walking in the Spirit that it becomes the path that you habitually walk on, to where you're just taking a stroll every day. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now again, you know, through the law and through the old covenant, you know, people struggled against sin, struggled trying to put away sin, struggled trying to overcome sin. But Paul gives us a real key here. He said, if we'll learn to walk in the Spirit, then we'll end up not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. It's not, you know, we've had that a lot of times. We've had that backwards. Well, if I just don't walk in the flesh, then I'll be able to be in the Spirit. No, walk in the Spirit, and the things of the flesh will just fall off. They'll fall off. Praise God. What a better way to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. The Christian life was never designed to be lived in the power of our flesh, our self-effort, our reasoning, or our intellect. God gave you a reason. God gave you intellect. There's place for that. There's time for that. Amen. Like Mark Rutland said, being a Christian does not mean check your brains at the door. But, as Dad Hagen said, we've educated our heads at the expense of our spirits. Amen. And so we need to learn to walk in the Spirit, because the Christian life was designed to be lived in the power of the Spirit. So number three, then, to walk with God means that we walk in the Spirit. And in order to walk in the Spirit, we have to first be filled with the Spirit. And that is a prerequisite. That's really a first step. That's why Jesus, even after his resurrection, he told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, but wait a minute, before you go, you need to be endued with power from on high. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why the New Testament authors emphasized being filled with the Spirit. The Apostle Paul says, writes in Ephesians, don't be drunk with wine, but be, we're in his excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Praise God. And so to walk in the Spirit, we have to first be filled with the Spirit and maintain a Spirit-filled life. Amen. In John chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus said this, talking to the woman at the well in Samaria. He said, God is Spirit. The King James says God is a Spirit. And those who worship Him must worship how? In spirit and in truth. And so to go the direction that God is going, to walk with God means that we're going in the direction He's going, right? To walk with God, to go in the direction that God is going, means that we'll walk in the Spirit, because God's a Spirit. And our worship of Him is to be in spirit and in truth. The thing is, our spirits have been made alive. And again, it astounds me that Enoch and Noah were able to walk with God under the old covenant. Our spirits have been made alive to God. We can worship Him. We can know Him spirit to spirit. Not through outward things with symbols and sacrifices and outward manifestations of things like that. But heart to heart, spirit to spirit, we can know God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Praise God. To walk in the Spirit means to yield to the Holy Spirit, who's on the inside of us. Again, He's in us. He's not out here somewhere we're trying to get a hold of. He's right here, right on the inside of you. Amen. So to walk in He's desiring to speak, and He's desiring to lead, and He's desiring to help, and He's desiring to guide. We just have to become conscious of Him. We just have to recognize Him. Amen. And begin to recognize His leading, and begin to yield to that. Begin to yield to Him. That's why praying in tongues is so valuable. Because the more that you pray in tongues, when you pray in tongues, you're yielding to the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:4 says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues and other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit's given the utterance, they're doing the speaking. What are they doing? They're learning to work with the Holy Spirit. They're learning to yield to the Holy Spirit. Every time that we pray in tongues, He's given the utterance, we're doing the speaking. What are you doing when you're praying in tongues? You're working with the Holy Spirit. You're learning to yield to Him. And so the more that we do that, speaking in tongues is not just the initial evidence that you got filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not just for you to blurt out, you know, a couple of phrases now and then when you get real excited. But it's a way that we're to pray every day. Amen. Praise God. And so when we pray in the Spirit, we become more conscious of the Holy Spirit. And we're yielding to Him in that act of praying. Praise God. And so that's how we get comfortable. That's how we're habitually in this path of walking in the Spirit. We get in a habit. Amen. Of doing these things. We get in a habit of walking in love. We get in a habit of responding. Oh, isn't it beautiful to be able to do that? to be, instead of responding out of anger and out of hatred, that we can respond, that you let the love of God rise up in you. And when you're like a sponge, you've just soaked up the love of God in you. And so when pressure comes, instead of something, you know, nasty or harsh or hurtful coming out of you back toward that person, that the love of God just comes out. Amen. Hallelujah. You just get in it. You just get used to that. And you get used to walking by faith. When a situation arises, you're not like, oh no, what are we going to do? Instead, you say, this is another opportunity to believe God. This is another opportunity to watch God work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the same is true. We get used to yielding to the Holy Spirit, walking in the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Let's look at one more. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. God is over here in the light, walking in the light, and I say, oh yeah, I'm in fellowship with God, and I'm over here walking in the darkness. I'm over here engaged in stuff that I know is contrary to the Word of God. Then I'm not walking with Him. I'm lying. I'm lying. Amen. And so He tells us here what to do. He said, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So not only am I walking with God not only am I walking with Him, but now you're walking with Him. And so we've got fellowship. If we're walking in the light, then we're fellowshipping with one another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. The Amplified Bible there says keeps us cleansed from sin in all its forms and manifestations. So to walk with God means to walk in the light. You say, well, what's that, Pastor? What do you mean walk in the light? Well, the Bible says in the book of Psalms that the entrance of His Word gives light. That's our keynote scripture for our radio program, Words of Light. The entrance of His words gives light. The psalmist also in Psalm 119 said, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So to walk in the light means that we walk in the light of His word. It means that we walk in the truth of His word. Amen? That we walk according to what the word says. Praise God. Ephesians 5:8 Curtis, I know you're doing double duty up there, but we can go ahead and start playing the instrumental. That's disc 3, I think it is. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were once darkness, but now, look at this, you're what? You're light in the Lord. You were once darkness. We're not darkness anymore. Amen? We're not darkness anymore. We were darkness. We were under the authority of the prince of darkness. We were living in darkness. But now, we're light in the Lord. And then He says, walk as children. Bring that down just a little bit. It's a little bit too high. He says, walk as children of light. So we're to walk in the light. In the previous chapter, He tells them this. In verse 17 of chapter 4. He says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should what? No longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. So He says, don't walk that way. Don't walk like the Gentiles walk. Don't walk like the unsaved walk. Amen. We're walking with God now. We're walking with God. Amen. Hallelujah. We're walking in love. The world doesn't walk in love, right? The world, you know, the world holds grudges. Unfortunately, you know, it could be said there's a lot of that going on in the church world, but it shouldn't be. Amen? We don't have to. We've got a higher way to walk. Amen? We can walk in love. We can walk in faith. We can walk in the Spirit. and we can walk in the light of His Word. Hallelujah. We're to walk by what the Word says. He says, don't walk in the futility of their mind. Don't walk in the futility of your mind. Your reasoning and your mind will say, well, I need to get even with them. Well, I need to take advantage of them. Well, I need to make sure that I get my way. I need to make sure that I have my say. But that's not the love of God. That's not the way God's walking. I'm afraid things aren't going to work out. I better hoard up what I can right now. I better not give because, you know, the economy might turn bad. Well, that's fear. Faith says, I believe that God provides. I can be generous. I can give. I don't have to worry. I don't have to get in fear. God's going to take care of me. Amen? In all these areas. In all these areas. Praise God. So we're walking not by our feelings, not by our reason, but we're walking in the light of the Word. We're walking in the light of what the Word says. Praise God. So let's determine who wants to walk with God. Amen. Praise God. Anybody in here? I believe we all do. Let's walk in love. Let's walk in faith. Let's walk in the Spirit. And let's walk in the light of His Word. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And we'll be walking with God. And we'll do it as something that we become so used to. That it's just a habit with us. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God.